Blog Talk Radio.
The drummer really was Ringo. It was Ringo, I say! I'm sure. I'm Paul. Ringo. Good evening and welcome to... What night is it now? It's Friday. Okay, it's Eerie House Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie, new special, and the Spaceship One, new release. And we're here with
Mal Torme. No! Dean Elliott. No! Dick Hyman. No! No, who is it? Guy of the Ghoul. Howard Ballard and Tijuana Brass. No.
Who is it?
Martin Denny. No.
I thought it was a drummer here.
Cy Zentner?
Peter Tork. No.
Peter Tork. Quincy Jones. Sandy Nelson. That's the guy. Sandy Nelson. Drums are my beat. 1962.
That's a good one, too.
Yes. Let There Be Drums. 1961. Drums. Yep. Those kind of drums I'm digging. The other, not so much. There you go. I know it was in there somewhere. I had to go digging into my
minutes,
big band.
Okay.
Would you say you're a fan of percussion?
Yes, percussion, jazz, yes. Big band, jazz, yes.
Percussion in
percussion
general?
Jazz. Percussion, jazz.
I bet you didn't get a beat out of this.
Yeah. You got to hear the beat, man. Hey, you want to welcome? Come on, Animal Jack. Let's take it down a notch. There we go. Oh, want to welcome Fogs Bane and good old Bob into the live chat. And tonight, it's the second part of our pre-Christmas programming. Easy for me to
Dale.
Say.
Easy for you
hey,
to
Dale.
Say.
Hey, Dale.
Hey, what?
Hey, Dale. Guess what?
What?
Okay. Okay.
Making me want to say it. Anyway, three.
What?
Three
you want to tell him to fuck off? What? What?
What? What? What? What? What?
Three wonderful, wonderful Christmas tales. Three Christmas tales.
I don't know what he said, but it sounded blue.
Ernest Brooks, This Is My Best.
This is
and
my best.
WCRS radio stage, which I'm looking forward to, of course, because of the connection to one of my co-hosts.
Something like that, Dave.
What type of year scope are we looking at with
actually,
W can't remember stuff?
That was from December 25th, 2001.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And this was one of the stories I did not write. I had two people, Mike Giorgio, we've had him on the show before, and John Drew, we almost had him on the show. Anyway, this comes to us from John Drew, and it's about a detective he created called Justin Case. And I don't think his parents
like
him. Anyway, it's another Just in Case mystery, a murder in a one-horse open sleigh.
The thing that you use, a mnemonic device that I used in this, and it's Weirdness Can't Remember Stuff, WCRS.
Yeah.
That's about 20 years from now when none of us can remember stuff.
Anything.
Right.
Anything, like our names, where we are,
Dale?
What we're doing there.
Why there's stuff in my beard, all kinds of stuff.
There was a time where Dave just started to drop by the Horrible Horror thing, and it would say
WRBM Dave.
Yes. Yes. And I would be like, what I did remember what that means. And it was like, and then he said, and I was like, It took me like 3 or 4 weeks to figure out what that was. I was like, what in the?
Werbum.
I couldn't remember that, what it stood for. We can't remember what? No, and that weirdness really what?
Yeah.
Really something. Yeah, it was
can't
weird.
Can't remember.
And then
stuff.
It clicked. Yeah.
Well, your good old box. And came from the WCRS radio stage came from the fact that before we became part of Goodwill, we were Written Communications Radio Service, WCRS. So that's where that
I like mine better.
Originally came from. Before that, we were actually the Tri-County Radio Reading Service.
I like mine better. Weirdness can't remember stuff.
Yeah, well, and weirdness
I'll
can't.
I'll bet when you created that, you didn't say stuff.
Did not say stuff, no.
Can't
I did say stuff. I will go to the grave saying stuff.
Okay.
And I'll get Cy Zentner's orchestra to play me out. How's that?
Okay, fair enough.
I'll wait for Lawrence Welk.
Yep.
Cy Zentner. Love that guy. Cy Zentner. Yeah. Cy Zentner, The Swinging Eye. What a album that was.
It swings, man.
It swings. I'm in the swing. What can I say?
I was
not that I'm
enough,
a swinger. But.
I was fortunate enough to have big band nights when I played for a while at the Marriott. Dave, the one over on West 150th over there? It was called Shenanigans at the time.
Okay.
And
the club, the bar.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Wait.
That was
wait,
pretty
the
posh.
Bar and you were playing the bar and you were playing big band.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I thought the bar that you've described some of the bars and they sounded kind of rough around the edges. Didn't think they'd be listening to big band.
No. They weren't that rough around the edges. Like most of my experience came in a neighborhood bar called Alfalfa's Pub. But the Marriott,
okay,
that was kind of posh, so I had to, you know, behave my – I definitely modified how I spoke to people. You know what I mean?
You said
you have a higher level clientele. You got a higher level clientele there. And there I met some very interesting and famous people, but we had a big band night, and it was fun. And I really got to enjoy the music and appreciate the music. Not for as long of a period as I've gotten to enjoy these old-time radio shows, which we ought to play some.
Did you ever play any Prez Prado? Prez Prado, any? No? Prez Prado?
I don't recall. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It was more the mainstream stuff like Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, Xavier Cugat, you know.
Miles Davis? No? Martin Denny?
Miles Davis was jazz.
Yeah,
he was
jazz a little later on in the 50s.
Yeah.
Let's get back to some old-time radio, shall we?
You can do
since
that.
Since my last segue failed, where shall we begin?
Well, we should go to the comedy first, I would think. Miss Brooks.
We'll start on the lighter side of life with our Miss Brooks, The Magic Christmas Tree.
Okay.
Originally broadcast way back.
Gosh.
In?
Wrong button. 1628. 1942. No, I got it right here. Hang on.
December
25th, 1949.
There you go. Episode number 72.
Colgate Palmolive Pete, makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Luster Cream Shampoo, and Palmolive Shaving Creams, bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. And we take this joyous opportunity to wish you, on behalf of Colgate Palmolive Pete, a glorious Merry Christmas. And now, our Miss Brooks. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, most of us spent Christmas Eve with our families and friends. But our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, wasn't quite so fortunate.
No, my family was too far away to visit, and it seems my friends had other plans. But I made up my mind not to brood about it, and was trimming a rather tiny tree in our living room when my landlady, Mrs. Davis, joined me.
What a nice tree, Connie.
It isn't really, Mrs. Davis, but it's the only one I could afford.
Oh, what did you pay for it?
I found it in a vacant lot. What I like about it is the size. It's not too big or too small. It's just too small.
I'd like to stay here and celebrate Christmas Eve with you, Connie, but I promised my sister Angela I'd come over to her place. You remember Angela, the absent-minded one?
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Davis.
She always got a big thrill out of the holidays, even when we were girls. Of course, the poor dear could never remember when it was actually Christmas. And one Christmas morning, she did the funniest thing.
What's that, Mrs. Davis?
What's what, dear?
What did Angela do?
Angela?
Your sister.
My sister.
The absent-minded one. What did she do?
I haven't spoken to Angela in some time. What has she been up to?
That's what I'd like to know. Maybe I can refresh your memory. Christmas morning, Angela did the funniest thing.
Christmas morning isn't until tomorrow, Connie. You must be confused.
Well, don't worry about it. I only get these spells once in a while.
Well, you shouldn't let it go, Connie. If you don't mind my offering a little advice, I'd like to suggest that you train your mind to concentrate more.
I'll do it, Mrs. Davis.
Now, I've developed a little scheme which works wonders for me. Supposing you have trouble remembering where you put things around the house. Well, you just keep repeating the location to yourself with a sort of rhythm. For example, I just chant to myself, the mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. The mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. The mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. Now, isn't that simple?
Oh.
Mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box.
That's wonderful, Mrs. Davis. If anybody wants a mustard sandwich, you're really ready.
Yes. Now, before I do anything else, I want to invite you to join me tonight.
Join you?
Yes, dear. I'm going over to,
Angela's house?
That's right. She's so cute with that little absent mind of hers. Why, sometimes she forgets what she's talking about right in the middle of a sentence and... Oh, dear me, I hope that cat's got enough milk.
Well, I'm sure if we, But then, maybe someday, or if it doesn't seem to... And that's why I can't join you tonight. Thanks anyway, Mrs. Davis. I'll just spend a quiet evening at home here.
But how about Mr. Boynton? Don't tell me he was too shy to ask you for a date on Christmas Eve.
Why do you think there's mistletoe on all four walls? No, Mr. Boynton asked me all right, but then he canceled yesterday. Said he's going upstate to visit his folks for a couple of days. But don't worry about me, Mrs. Davis. I'll have a gay time. I'll listen to the radio, read, and from this window I can see our neighbor's television antenna.
But what about the little gifts you've got for Walter Denton and Mr. and Mrs. Conklin and Harriet? When are you going to deliver them?
Oh, they told me not to bother. They said we'd exchange on the 26th.
The 26th? But I don't think the day after Christmas is the time to exchange gifts.
You don't? You should see the department stores. What's that, Mrs. Davis?
It's Minerva. Where are you, dear?
Oh, she's over by the tree. Here, Rover. Minerva.
Isn't it the strangest thing how she bites at the pine needles? I guess the rosin in them appeals to her. I'd swear she likes the taste of it.
I guess to her it's like a Tom and Jerry, or rather a Minnie and Mickey. Come on, Minerva, come on over here. We might as well get friendly. We're going to spend the evening together.
Well, I'll be running along now, dear. I hope you won't feel too lonely.
Oh, I'll be fine, Mrs. Davis. After all, I do have an imagination. I'll hang my stocking up in a little while, and then when I'm pretending that I'm asleep, I'll sneak in and fill it. Oh, before you know it, it'll be midnight.
Midnight of Christmas Eve.
I can just picture it. A short, thin man in a black suit comes sliding down the chimney with an empty bag. St. Penniless, the schoolteacher, Santa Claus.
Well, at least you're not bitter. Now, Connie, about my... my sister,
Angela.
Oh, thank you, dear. About my sister, Angela.
Yes?
Good night, Dorothy.
Good night, Bernice. Oh, stop drinking those pine needles, Minerva. Come on over here. There's a good kitty. Now I'll just settle down in Mrs. Davis's rocker, and we'll have ourselves a nice, quiet rock. I've got to exercise more. My bones are rusting. Oh, it's the rocker. Kind of soothing at that. Oh, you seem contented enough, Minerva. T'was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Oh, sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to upset you, Minerva. Oh, gosh, I'm sleepy. Now, who can that be? Expecting anyone, Minerva? That's funny. There's nobody here.
I'm here.
Where? Oh, leaning on my knee. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm a salesman, but I don't believe in giving any sales talk or sob stories. All I do is tell you what I'm selling, and if you want to buy, okay, if not, okay.
Okay, what are you selling?
Well, it's Christmas Eve, and I'm just a small urchin, a little on the underprivileged side, and I'm trying to make a few dollars to get some wood to heat our tiny apartment. So that while she's singing to my three sick sisters, my mother's lips don't turn blue.
That's what I like, no sob story. You're selling handkerchiefs, I'll take six.
Well, no, ma'am, I'm selling Christmas trees. They're only a dollar a piece.
But I've already got a Christmas tree.
Then I'll make a 50 cents.
But I don't need...
How about a quarter?
Look, little boy.
Well, payments can be arranged. Oh, please take one, ma'am. These aren't ordinary trees, you know. They're magic.
Magic?
Yes, ma'am. You'd be surprised what miracles will happen to you if you buy one.
Well, a quarter isn't too much to pay for a miracle.
It's 50 cents.
I thought you said 25.
That's when you sounded tougher to sell.
Oh. Well, before I melt down to my coal buttons and the stovepipe hat, here's 50 cents.
Well, you won't be sorry, ma'am. Here's the little tree.
Hey, it is kind of cute at that. Would you like to come in and help me set it up?
I can't. I've got to get right home. My sitter's been alone long enough.
Sitter? Well, what about your mother and the firewood?
Well, that's just a routine. My folks are attending a dinner the other bank presidents have given for Father.
With the pitch you've got, you'll have your own bank by the time you're 12.
Oh, thanks a lot. Good night, lady, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, you little underprivileged millionaire. I'll put this tree over here. Maybe we can find some extra trimmings for it in the morning.
Meow.
Minerva, will you stop gnawing on those pine needles? I wish I knew what made them so appetizing to her.
Meow.
Oh, fine. Now you come over here and let those things alone. There we are. Well, I guess I'm not the only one that's spending Christmas Eve alone without family or friends. Who can tell? Maybe Santa Claus has something up his big red sleeve that I don't even know about yet. Of course, I do have a squeaky rocker and Minerva. Jingle bells, and merry stuff like that. Oh, what fun it is to rock with a big, fat, drunken cat. As I sat in the living room Christmas Eve with Minerva the cat on my lap, I couldn't help noticing that the tree which I'd bought from that wealthy urchin had a rather peculiar luminosity. Although there wasn't any artificial illumination, it seemed to glow from deep down in its branches. As I rocked back and forth, I started to get very drowsy. Ooh, little boy said this tree was magic, Minerva.
Meow.
I don't believe it either. Still, it is Christmas Eve, and some very strange things have happened on Christmas Eve. Oh. What's that? Oh, I must have been dozing. Coming! Well, it's Walter Denton. Come in, Walter.
Noel, Noel. Joy, you is Noel.
Gracias. Come on into the living room, Walter.
Ah, thanks, Miss Brooks. Here, I brought you this little gift to put under your tree.
Oh, that was very thoughtful, Walter. Put it under this tree over here.
Okay. Say, you've got two trees, haven't you?
Yes, one for Minerva and one for me.
What?
Don't pay any attention to her. She's pine needle happy.
Well, Miss Brooks, as you know, I was supposed to spend the evening nestled snugly in the tight little confines of my own small immediate family circle.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, come out of there. You're giving me claustrophobia.
But I went to my father and mother and crowed their permission to come over.
Wait a minute, Walter. You crowed their permission to?
Yeah. Crave, craven, crove, isn't it?
Oh, Walter, of course not. Crave, craved. Let's see. Crave, craven. After you crowed their permission, what happened?
Well, they waived my presence for a long enough while for me to deliver to you, Miss Brooks, the little token of my esteem and affection, which is now ensconcing under the tree.
Walter, you still in my English class?
Well, sure, Miss Brooks.
Well, I'd better bone up a little. One of us is going to flunk this term.
Well, it isn't just the gift, Miss Brooks. That's not the only thing that brought me wayfaring from the warmth and conviviality of my own heart.
Oh, please don't start that again. I'm glad you dropped over, Walter. And if you want to spend the rest of the evening with your folks,
oh,
why you
no
go...
Oh, there's no rush with them. They've got my present under our tree already. Now, what I'd like to say, Miss Brooks, though, is something I've wanted to say for a long while.
Yes, Walter?
Now, it's a little on the sentimental side, perhaps, for a so-called hep high school boy to be telling a teacher, but it's sincere, Miss Brooks.
I'm sure it is.
It's something I feel deep down inside of me, Miss Brooks, from whence so many of one's warmer emotions stem.
That's whence they stem from, all right.
Of course, even if it does seem over-sentimental or even downright sticky, Christmas Eve seems to be the time that you can say things like this and not sound over-sentimental or sticky.
Christmas Eve is the time to say them. I just hope I hear them by New Year's Eve.
What I want you to know, Miss Brooks, is that I'm grateful.
For what, Walter?
For my association with you during the past semester at Madison High School.
Well, thank you, Walter. I've tried to be a capable teacher.
Oh, your teaching was nothing.
What?
Oh, I don't mean scholastically. No, as a teacher, you were very adequate. I mean personally. The interest you took in me and my problems. For that, I could never thank you if I lived to be 100. Of course, you'd be gone a long time by then.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
You don't know what it's meant to me to have your ear whenever I needed it.
Oh, it was nothing, really. I have another one.
Especially about girls. Guys, you remember how silly I used to act about girls? Every time one of them looked at me, I giggled like a kid. And then, overnight, I matured. I met the one woman who really mattered. Harriet Conklin.
She certainly made something out of you, Walter. I don't know what, but something.
You saw me through the difficult transition period of that amour as well, while Harriet and I were adjusting to one another. It was wonderful to be able to come down to you for advice, Miss Brooks. It isn't every boy who has such an interest taken in him by some intelligent, elderly person.
Give me back my ear. I can't hear you.
Not that you're ancient or anything. Gosh, I've seen girls who don't look as good as you do.
Girls? What do you think I am? Shut up, Minerva.
By the way, Miss Brooks, I see you got lots of mistletoe on the walls. Were you expecting Mr. Boynton tonight?
Yes, Walter, I was. We were going for a wheelchair ride together. But he had to visit his folks upstate.
His folks? Gosh, they must be well along in years.
His father's over 50. They may shoot him next spring. Look, Walter, while you're here, you might as well pick up the little gift I got for you.
Oh, but Miss Brooks, you shouldn't have. Where is it?
Under the tree on your right. It isn't much, just a remembrance.
Oh, gee, I almost forgot. I can't open it yet.
Why not? Oh, you mean you want to put it under your tree at home and open it with your family?
Oh, not exactly, but... Well, I'll get it later, Miss Brooks.
And we'll find out what he gets later in just a little bit with Eve Arden and our Miss Brooks.
You know what I get a kick out of with these? That is... is Richard Crenna there as that young man. Went on to be with Walter Brennan on The Real McCoys, and then went on to do a ton of serious drama work. But that's that same Richard Crenna right there as a youngster there. I mean, I always get a kick out of hearing him be Walter Denton on Our Miss
Brooks. Walter is such a great character and plays off Eve Arden so well.
Yeah.
their relationship is weird. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Well, half the time her car's broken down, so she has to bum a ride from him to get to school, you know, so.
Yep. Well, we want to wish everybody happy holiday season, and thanks for joining us for our celebration with these old-time radio programs and spending it with friends and family, of which you are both.
Yeah. CW joined us in the chat. I'm assuming at some point she'll jump in to their call in to be part of our Erie House family here and make it complete.
Yes. Or else we'll get out of control.
Or she could be listening at work and being in trouble if she does that.
We need you to rein us in.
It's too cold to rain, Dale. It's too cold to rain.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Is it ever. Is it ever. We got some negative lots of numbers in wind chills.
But did you get precipitation? Did you get snow today?
I did not get much out here in Lorain County. How about you, Dave?
We got enough to blow around. So we've got some drifting, but we really don't have a lot of snow.
Enough to ice the roads.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it.
Perfect.
But, you know, like when I was, even before I got home at like 2 this afternoon, and that was during the daytime, it was already down to like between 2 and 3 degrees.
Tell me.
Amazing wind.
I just checked.
You know.
The lowest we're going to get is 21 degrees here. So we're having a heat wave compared to what you're getting.
We got that wind chill thing going on.
It
doesn't say what it's going to be with the wind chill, but 21 degrees and then factor in wind chill. I don't know.
That's because you guys don't have to deal with it that often where who knows if you have your local people have
we're a peninsula. All we get is wind. We get wind from the Gulf to the Atlantic and the Atlantic back.
But that's a nice wind when it's hot. That's a beautiful wind when it's hot.
It's not hot right now. We're getting the Arctic blast thing. Vortex, whatever it's called.
Come up here for some -4 we had in Wellington. So.
Yeah. No,
we have -2.
Just,
we have -2 right here in Akron right now. And then you've got the wind chill on top of that. So,
Yeah.
Winds are going at a regular speed of 23 miles an hour, gusting up more than that. So, yeah.
Almost as fast as our furnaces.
Yeah. Now, you know, on the east side of Cleveland where the snow belt is, they're actually in a level 3, which means anybody found on the roadways can actually be arrested because they don't need to be on the road unless they're like emergency people. And it's so weird. You know, they're not like they're a hike away, but they're not that far away.
And, no, it's very regional. They get that super, super duper lake effect and it dumps on them. I grew up in Bedford Heights. We were on the edge of that snow belt.
That's like a lack of common sense. If it's that cold, why are you out? Why? Why? But they had to enact a rule that said, don't be out there. Come on. That's ridiculous.
Usually the only people out there usually are emergency people and nurses and doctors and other emergency people. At that point.
And Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And crackheads.
But he's got double, Santa has double extra thermals. So.
Yes.
Santa's insulated with magic. So,
Just like our magic Christmas tree in the show.
That's right. With our Miss Brooks, let's get back to part 2.
Oh, there they are now. I'll answer it.
There, who are now?
Thanks, Dave.
Come on in, folks.
Needed
you
that.
Alone when I got here.
Good segue.
Stay at home Christmas Eve. It's freezing out.
Now, Osgood, don't be so grouchy. Hello, Miss Brooks. Merry Christmas.
Why, it's Mr. and Mrs. Conklin. And Harriet, how are you all?
I'm cold.
Oh, that's too bad. Come here, Minerva. Rub up against Mr. Conklin.
What's that? What are you... Go away, cat.
Why, she seems to like you, Osgood. Or is she hungry, Miss Brooks?
She's not that hungry.
I don't like cats. Why doesn't she go chase a mouse or something?
You forget, Mr. Conklin, this is Christmas Eve. There isn't one stirring.
Hey, Harriet.
Yes, Walter?
There's a lot of mistletoe around this room.
I know. It's real pretty.
Osgood. Notice all the mistletoe in this room?
What? Oh, all that green stuff. More often than not, it makes me sneeze.
Oh, come on, Osgood. Let's see if it does.
Oh, now, Martha, don't embarrass me so.
It doesn't make you sneeze, does it, Harriet?
I'm willing to find out. Here's a nice wreath of it on this wall.
Yeah. Well, here we are.
Yeah. Here we are.
May I, Mr. and Mrs. Conklin?
If it's all right with Harriet, it's all right with us.
Oh, come on, Walter, we're getting old.
Gosh, you're sweet, Harriet.
Oh, isn't that cute, Osgood? Come here, dear, how about one for your faithful old wife?
Well, it is customary, I guess. I'm under the stuff.
Now, pucker up, dear.
Very well. Yeah. You see, I told you. Now, let's stop this romantic drivel and act like adult human beings. Miss Brooks, I'd like to take advantage of this visit to inquire as to your plans for the coming year's classwork. Do you have your schedule all laid out?
Well, frankly, Mr. Conklin, I haven't had much chance to work on anything.
Haven't had much of a chance? But you've been away from school all week. Your vacation started last Monday.
I know, Mr. Conklin, and that's what I took the week as. I mean, a vacation is something you go on when you get the opportunity to. You don't work on it or during it, unless, even though I didn't actually go anywhere, when my vacation came along, I went on it or was on one, usually.
And you wanted to be the head of the English department.
Please, Osgood, this is no time to talk of school affairs. We're here to spend part of our holiday with Miss Brooks.
It was very nice of you to think about me, Mrs. Conklin. It was nice of all of you. Where are Walter and Harriet?
Denton, get my daughter away from that mistletoe at once.
But, Mr. Conklin, Harriet isn't allergic to mistletoe.
No, but I'm allergic to you.
Harriet's almost irresistible sometimes, especially alongside of older women like Mrs. Conklin and Miss Brooks.
Saved by the bell. I'll get it. Why, Mr. Boynton, come in.
Oh, thanks, Miss Brooks.
I thought you were going upstate to see your folks.
Well, I was, but they sent me a wire that they wanted to come down here for a week or so. They'll arrive in the morning, so I thought I'd drop this little gift off for you tonight.
Oh, but you shouldn't have. Where is it? Let's just put it under the tree in the living room. Look who's here, everybody.
Well, it's Mr. Boynton.
Hi there, Mr. B.
This is nice.
Hello, Boynton.
Hello, folks.
This is beginning to get more like Christmas Eve every minute. Sit down, Mr. Boynton. I'm certainly glad your folks decided to visit you instead of vice versa.
Oh, so am I. There's a particularly good reason why I'm glad.
There is?
Yes. It gives me a chance to see how my guinea pigs are affected by this cold snap. So far, they haven't reacted at all.
What do you expect them to do, blow on their paws?
Miss Brooks. Have you pointed out the mistletoe to Mr. Boynton?
Oh, why don't you stop that nonsense, Martha?
It isn't nonsense. Mr. Boynton, look at the mistletoe.
Mistletoe? Oh, yes, a very interesting example of the flora found in various areas throughout the globe. An evergreen parasitic shrub, it is indigenous to the regions where apple trees and oaks abound.
Now that the lecture is over, may we ask questions?
Well, certainly, Miss Brooks.
Want to stand under it?
Stand under it? Well, you see, because of certain characteristics in its makeup, an allergy is sometimes aggravated by its presence.
I'll take a chance if you will.
Come on, Mr. Boynton.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Boynton.
Just bring him over to this wall here.
I'll get under it if you like.
Well, don't just stand there. Can't you see Miss Brooks is cooking?
Well, don't fuss for me. I couldn't eat a thing.
Mr. Boynton, don't you know what standing under the mistletoe signifies?
Oh, I know what it signifies to most people, but to me it's just...
Well, there goes 85 cents worth of mistletoe.
Hey, I know what let's do. Let's open up the presents right now.
Well, a splendid suggestion, Walter.
Shouldn't we wait until just before we leave? Might be less embarrassing that way.
Well, if you want to open them now,
Dolly, this one tree is pretty crowded. I'll put some of these packages under this little one over here.
Look out, Walter. You're bumping into one of the branches. Look out.
Gosh, I got the funniest feeling when I touched that branch.
What kind of a feeling, Walter?
Well, you're Harriet Conklin, aren't you?
Well, sure I'm Harriet Conklin. Walter, what's the matter with you?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter with me. It's just that I want to tell you something. Harriet, you've got to change. You ought to try to be more like Miss Brooks.
What do you mean, Walter?
If you want me to stay interested in you, you've got to be more alluring, youthful, glamorous, feminine in that real feline Brooks way.
Walter, have you been drinking pine needles, too?
Look at that tree. It seems to be glowing.
What do you mean, glowing? Just a reflection from the streetlights. This party is giving me the memes. Holidays, indeed. Here, I'll just move the tree where it won't glisten in our eyes. There we go. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Why, Mr. Conklin.
Of course I'm Mr. Conklin. Happy-go-lucky, fun-loving, gag-a-minute Osgood.
Gag-a-minute Osgood?
Sometimes I've wanted to.
Miss Brooks, is that really you standing there?
I think so, Mr. Conklin. Why do you ask?
Because you suddenly look so different, so intelligent. Miss Brooks, I've made up my mind. You are now head of the Madison High English Department.
Well, thank you, fun-loving Osgood.
I'm going to put this wonderful tree where it belongs, right in the center of the room. Give me a hand, Boynton.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Conklin. I'll just take this end here and... Miss Brooks.
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
Come here, baby. You said, come here, Connie.
You did not. You said, come here, baby, and I'm here.
Look, he's taking her over to the mistletoe.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Well, what are you going to do, Mr. Boynton?
Just call me Phil, Connie. And this is what I'm going to do. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I feel like I'm in a dream, Philip. A wonderful, beautiful dream. Well, what's that? Mr. Boynton, where did you go? Where is everybody? Oh, I must have been dreaming. Well, that's real enough. I'll be right there. Oh, sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to drop you.
Surprise!
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 I'm cold.
Why, it's the Conklins and Walter and Mr. Boynton. But you all just left. Come in.
We thought it would be nice if we spent our Christmas Eve together, Miss Brooks.
Yes, and we've brought a few little gifts over for you.
I'll just put them under this tree here.
Yes, do that, Walter.
Aren't you going to ask me why I didn't go upstate, Miss Brooks?
I know why, Mr. Boynton. Your folks are coming down to see you.
Well, how did you know about that? I just got the telegram.
Don't let's get too carried away with the holidays to prepare for the hard school season ahead, Miss Brooks.
Oh, let's not talk about school affairs now, Osgood.
Walter, look at the mistletoe.
Yeah, look at it.
Now, just a minute. Before we go through all that again, would you please touch that tree, Mr. Boynton? The one on the left with the... Why, it's gone. There's only one tree.
Miss Brooks, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Did I have dreamt that part, too? Mr. Boynton, would you do me a favor, please?
Of course, Miss Brooks. What is it?
Would you touch the Christmas tree?
Touch it?
But... Please, it's important.
Oh, all right. There.
Nothing happened.
Well, what did you expect would happen?
A miracle. Oh, excuse me. I'll be right back.
Well, I'm a little urchin, and I'm sewing magic Christmas trees.
But you just...
Please buy one, lady. They only cost 50 cents apiece.
50 cents?
That's right.
Here's $2. Give me 4 of them.
And now, once again, here is Eve Arden.
All over the studio here, there are happy signs of Christmas. Bits of red and green, holly, and some imaginative person even hung some mistletoe in the control room. Must remember to drop in there after the show. But the Christmas spirit is even more evident in the faces of our cast. Together with our sponsor, the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Luster Cream Shampoo, and Palmolive Shaving Creams, we join in wishing you a Merry Christmas. Yes, Jeff Chandler and Gail Gordon, Jane Morgan, Virginia Gordon, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Jeffrey Silver, our writer-director Al Lewis, and our producer Larry Burns, our conductor Wilbur Hatch, and all the others on the R. Miss Brooks Show. And we're gathered here to say, may this be the most joyous of the holidays for all of you.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There we go. Very soothing. More soothing than the chicken. Which
But it goes down better than the goat does, you know. A good deep fried chicken, you know.
Yes.
That's a lot of eggs you're laying there, Gar.
Oh wow.
I just saw in Cleveland there's a 50-car pileup.
On the turnpike. On the turnpike. Which means they paid to get into that pileup.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing.
I hope they brought schnapps. I mean, if you're gonna pay, I mean, why not? You know.
Schnapps? Did you say schnapps?
I think it's snacks.
Oh, snacks.
Popcorn. Snacks. Peanuts.
Yeah,
let's watch this. It's going to be fun.
Schnapps might be a good idea to take, too, though, you know.
Yeah.
Schnapps might be why there's a pileup.
Could be.
Might be. I did notice people were driving a lot more conservatively when I was out there earlier today. But, you know, you pay to be on that turnpike, and you expect everything to be perfect. So, probably had some people... Not so smart people just rolling along like they always do on the turnpike.
I heard they were driving conservatively because they found out Dave was on the roads.
Yeah. Not Dave.
Dave's on the road. Everybody calm down.
Run, hide.
Driving on the sidewalk is okay. That's right.
Yeah, people don't like the way that drives, they can stay the hell off the sidewalk.
My wife's a big fan of British sitcoms and British movies and stuff. I think she just likes the accent, but there's one stars Patricia Rutledge in a sitcom, and she's a hyacinth bucket, but she always has everybody corrects them and say bouquet. And she's always henpecking her husband. He's driving along. And every once in a while, my wife says something when I'm driving. And I always turn around and say, minding the pedestrian, Hyacinth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I follow that up with Macabre.
No.
And after that, just
Only in Scotland is Macabre. The rest of the world calls it Macabre.
Mm-hmm.
Did Dale call that pilot going for moose tracks is what CW wants to know.
You can always tell if your spouse is used to your driving, if they're clutching that bar in front of them and they're in white knuckles and everything. It's like, oh man, they're not enjoying the ride. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's Mrs. K. She's very generous.
Don't have to enjoy the ride to get from point A to point B, right?
You just got to get there alive.
I'm behind the wheel and I don't like it. There you go.
Yep, Mrs. K. Not a fan of my driving. Not a fan.
I think it was last night. Last night I had to go. Why did I have to? I went out. Oddly, I went out to the grocery store and I got a few things. And coming back, I ran across someone. I think the speed limit was like 40, and they were doing like 32. And I was like, I got to get out of here. Come on. What are you doing? Just moseying along. And I was like, no.
Now I found
all kinds
of stuff.
Every gear I had.
Was that in the produce aisle?
Yeah. We have a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit in the produce aisle. And if you're not there, then you need to get out of the way. I said it straight, and Dave cracked up.
You did.
And you just said.
See what happened?
You just said.
See what happened?
I couldn't be a straight man.
Could there have been a moral to this?
No. The other two, yes. This one, not. I'm not touching it. Nope. I got nothing. I tried, and I was like, no, I give up. It's comedy. It's already there. I don't know. And it was weird comedy. I didn't even know where it was going, comedy. But, yeah.
Okay.
All
We're all here
cute
now.
Cute story.
We're all here now.
Yep, we are.
Yes.
The whole gang, the whole family.
The four horse persons of the apocalypse. Welcome, CJ.
Yes, the apocalypse is here, and it's in a 50-car pileup in Ohio.
Yep.
Oh my.
Or to quote your wife's favorite character, Dave, the bouquet residence, Lady of the House speaking. No, this is not the Chinese takeaway. You cannot have a number 57 with a crispy wonton.
There you go.
There we go.
Like you saw Hyacinth. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, everybody kept calling her Mrs. Bucket, and boy, nothing made her madder to be called
it's
Mrs. Bucket.
Bouquet.
But that's the way you spelled her name, right?
Yes, it's Bouquet. Have a cup of tea with my royal douche and the hand periwinkles.
A classic show. Keeping Up Appearances,
classic.
Yes.
Yes.
That and Open, what's that, Open All? One about the department store.
Oh,
Are You Being Served?
Are You Being Served? That's a great show. I love it.
Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny.
Are you free? I'm free.
But they would look around. They would look around to see if anybody's there before they'd answer,
Yeah. Mrs. Slocum's ladies' underwear. How may we help you?
Different color hair every time she
every
walked
week.
In there.
Yeah,
that was her idea to do that, but it fit her so well.
Every color of the rainbow, every possible.
She was wearing pink hair before it was so punk to wear it.
Yep.
Or now everybody wears pink hair now.
And she was unanimous in that.
I am unanimous in this.
that program, that aired in the 70s or did that air in the 80s? Or both? It was a long run, wasn't it?
It wasn't a long run because, I think into the 70s and 80s because each series wasn't any more than 10 episodes.
And they also did an Australian version as well.
Oh, did they?
Oh, wow.
I didn't.
Yes.
I haven't caught
that one.
We should probably do the American version of This Is My Best in a story called The Plot to Overthrow Christmas.
Nice segue. Yes, we should.
Yes.
Well done.
With I'm just saying.
With the great Orson Welles. Yeah.
Cool.
I was just throwing that out there as a possibility that maybe.
Little TikTok there.
Yeah.
I'm the
a novel approach to a radio program that plays old-time radio programs.
So do we do that? Okay.
Okay, so this one was originally broadcast way back.
December 19th, 1944.
Episode 15.
Now listen to Orson Welles with Ray Collins in The Plot to Overthrow Christmas by Norman Corwin.
Okay.
This is My Best. Starring Orson Welles with Ray
and
Collins in a Christmas story chosen from among his best works, especially for this program, by America's master radio poet, Norman Corwin. America's best stars in the world's best stories. This is My Best, presented each week for your entertainment by
CRESTA. BLANCA. Presta. Blanca. Presta Blanca.
Sheltered from the ocean breezes, nestled among green rolling hills, nurtured by the friendly sunlight, cooled by softly falling rain. There the vines of Cresta Blanca, bursting forth in their green glory, growing, bearing, heavy laden, bring the grapes to luscious fullness. So the vintner quickly harvests, presses from them gold and goodness, tends it gently, now to rest. Till at last the wine is ready, shimmering, fragrant, full of flavor, masterpiece of his perfection. And he hails it proudly, saying, "This is My Best. This is Cresta Blanca."
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. I'm very flattered indeed for the chance to be appearing so soon again on This Is My Best, very particularly in the radio best we have for you tonight. Best is a big word, but it isn't too big for Norman Corwin, who is certainly, and beyond all argument, the best writer the medium has produced. And best is a big word, but it isn't too big for Ray Collins either, who shoulders the greater part of tonight's divertissement. If you know of a better actor in radio, please send me his name. I can use him in the Mercury. Here, then, is Radio's Best, a script by Corwin, and here's Corwin's very best for the holidays, a delicious and utterly delirious rigadoon of a thing entitled The Plot to Overthrow Christmas.
Shenley's Cresta Blanca Wine presents The Plot to Overthrow Christmas by Norman Corwin, starring Orson Welles as Nero, with Ray Collins as Santa Claus on This Is My Best.
Did you hear about the plot to overthrow Christmas? Well, gather ye now from Maine to the Isthmus of Panama and listen to the story of the utter inglory of some gory goings-on in hell. Now, it happened in Hades, ladies and gentlemen. It happened down there that the fiends held a meeting. The fiends held a meeting for the purpose of defeating Christmas. With the aid of a fade on the radio, we'll take you there with a high and a hey-de-ho to hear firsthand the brewing of the plot down in the deepest Stygian grot.
A grot is a poetical term for grotto, Whenever you hear my voce sotto or sotto voce, whichever you prefer, it's just I, taking pains to make quite sure that nobody makes a poetical allusion which might in any way create confusion. I return you now to the voice you were hearing before I had to do this interfering.
As I was saying, in this Stygian grot, the notables of Limbo hatched a plot. And what went on in the sulfurous hole we'll soon pick up by remote control. You mustn't mind if it sounds erratic. That's merely intraterrestrial static. And don't be surprised if you're deafened by thunder just as we start on our journey under. And so below, via radio, to the regions where the legions of the damned go.
Concerto. You should look to the improvement of your manners.
Sir, if you please, my apologies. I would not have intruded upon your recital if the matters were not so terribly vital.
The most important matter in the world is piddling when it comes to be compared with Nero's fiddling.
Now, what you say may be very true, but I have been sent here to summon you to a great mass meeting of the tortured souls down in the grot of the flaming coals.
Why are we meeting? Who's on the spot?
We're meeting in order to fabricate a plot. A plot against the festival that mortal men comfort in and gladden in again and again. You see, every year...
Never mind the facts. I don't want to hear how mortal man acts. The only information about which I care concerns the mass meeting and who'll be there.
His wickedness, Mephisto, will preside.
Naturally.
And several of the Borgias will be sitting at his side. And down in front by the sizzling podium will be many personalities known for their odium. Haman Caliglia, Medusa and Legree.
That's all very nice, but what about me?
Oh, you'll be sitting in row A, center, between Ivan the Terrible, the Tormentor, and Circe.
Mercy, why, they're both deranged.
Do you wish me to see if your seat can be changed?
Yes, if you will, please. Taste comes first, even though a soul may be eternally cursed.
Righto. See you at the meeting, then?
Yes, so now back to my fiddling again.
This is I, the sotto voce person. It should have been explained that Nero is rehearsing for nothing in particular. He's just that way. While hell's fires burns, he likes to play. It makes him feel a little more at home. It's just an avocation he picked up at Rome.
The meeting will now come to order, please. I've called you here from over 60 seas of boiling pitch and blazing phosphorus to stop what constitutes a loss for us. And this is the reason. Though we've done well in carrying forward the work of hell, we've left a very big job unfinished. After all these years, there is undiminished goodwill on Earth every late December because of Christmas. Now, please remember that as long as this continues to be, the race of man will not belong to me. I will listen now to any questions you may want to ask. And then, suggestions.
Mr. Chairman!
Brother Haman has the floor.
You say we've done well in our efforts to sell evil? I say we've done better. We have carried out the letter of your law. We've done what I think is a pretty good job. And I say, as a veteran demon...
See down there, Haman. He never this folly.
Sit down yourself, you're off your trolley.
Sit down, for I am Ivan the Terrible.
You're telling us why you're unbearable.
Fellow demons! This is no way to act. Please proceed with a little more tact. I want more decorum in this forum. These personal remarks you make must cease. Now, Brother Ivan,
Will you speak your piece? I merely want to say in a casual way that Haman is a radical. He always gets fanatical. Why anybody'd think to hear him snort that the work of the devil should just stop short?
Mr. Chairman, Brother Ivan is a demagogue with a brain like a fly and the manners of a hog. He says that...
Enough! We will hear from others. Surely there must be among you brothers enough of venom and malevolence to crush a mortal man's benevolence. It's come to this. Are we going to let a little holiday like Christmas get the better of us all down here below?
No!
Very well then, sirs, very well. Let's go. Let's lay down our plans now to overthrow this Christmas business and all that guff of holly and mistletoe and stuff.
Mr. Chairman.
Brother Caligula may take the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I abhor as a former emperor anything which curbs our rule. Let us give some presents, too. Candy sticks and things to chew, fruits and nuts, and little cakes, poisonous as rattlesnakes.
Bravo!
Let our subtlest worker be bichloride of mercury. Let us wrap in tinsel bright little gifts of dynamite.
Bravo!
Work things so that men will fear when 1225 draws near. Soon at this rate, if you please, men will hang from Christmas trees.
My dear Caligula, permit the chair to say that we think you've got something there. And now, with this fine start, let's hear some more. Yes, Brother Nero, do you want the floor?
With all due respect to Caligula's views, I think there's a better method we can use. I've heard just lately men are giving the razz to classical music by making it jazz. They're swinging Bach, and what is keener, they're doing the shag to Palestrina. As a connoisseur of music, of course, I love the works of Rimsky-Korsakov, but today I note with a bitter shrug they've made Scheherazade a jitterbug.
Much as we admire your clever rhyme, will you get to the point? We're wasting time.
I was just about to say, when interrupted, that Christmas can easily be corrupted if you take and swing all the Christmas carols. Why, think of the evil. Just barrels and barrels of sacrilege. Every time you play a pious song in a profane way, why, once you entice them to swing Noel, then victory belongs to us fiends. Well?
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Legree. I'd like to say that it seems to me that you all is barking up a coonless tree. I think Mr. Nero has made a wrong guess. The way to go about it is to get in Congress and bribe a bunch of senators who know their oats and just make a purchase of a block of votes. They can all get together and pass a law where there ain't going to be no Christmas anymore.
I think Legree's suggestion is a beaut.
It's very cute.
And quite astute.
By the eternal night. That's right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Miss Borgia.
I say that we should all give pause to think about this Santa Claus. He is the man behind the scenes, the symbol of what Christmas means. If we could rub him out, my friend, our troubles would be at an end. Just think how it would tickle us to liquidate St. Nicholas. A girl like me could fascinate the guy and then assassinate.
Do you think that you could do it, pretty one? Are you sure you wouldn't be by pity, one?
Sometimes you are an awful tease, my master Mephistopheles. Ain't I murdered several dozens, poisoned uncles, aunts, and cousins? Men of virtue all have cussed me. I'm sure that you can trust me.
Of that we haven't a particle of doubt, Miss Borgia. I'm sure we all have nothing but kind feelings towards you. But many times a woman spy, alas, adores her victims. Dames make poor ambassadors.
Do you imply that such defects are found inherent in my sex?
That I do.
Well, listen here, old Ironsides. You're heading for some cyanides. You've crossed the Borgia, and you know the consequences that follow.
Come, disciples. This is very bad. There's nothing to be gained by getting mad. Now, suppose we put the matter to a vote. All those in favor of the motion made by Fiend Caligula, which was to shade the glamour of a holiday by using selected poisons of our choosing, all those in favor will please signify by rising to their feet and saying aye.
Aye!
One vote in favor, Caligula's. And those opposed?
No!
The motion is defeated. Up we bring the plan of Brother Nero's, viz., to swing the hymns and pious music.
All those for will please respond by raising up a paw.
For!
And those against?
Against!
Very well. Now, the project of Legree's. Who is there here who totally agrees?
I do.
Legree votes for himself. And those opposed?
Opposed!
And now, all those who favor Borgia's cause, it being to eliminate Santa Claus.
Aye, aye, aye!
And those opposed? It seems the women have a way with them. At least, they have carried the day with them. Motion's carried. Now we'll decide which one of us will take Nick for a ride. We'll all draw lots and thus settle the moot point of who'll be sent to execute.
You are listening to This Is My Best, and in just a few moments we'll tell you the rest. But ere we return to this story of strife, a word, if you please, of a season that's rife with greetings and goodies and food served so fine with the elegant touch of a good table wine. A good table wine, Cresta Blanca California Sauterne. A wine that is golden, delicious, and light. A wine that will earn you praises galore. A distinctive dry wine that will add extra zest to your Christmas Day dinner made up of the best. The name, once again, Cresta Blanca Sauterne.
There you go. Get yours now.
Or tomorrow.
For how long? Yeah, I don't know. Go now. We'll wait.
Yep, yep. No. I'm not sending them out in weather like this. They might end up in a 50-car pileup.
It'll be 51 cars now.
Yeah.
There will be no wine before it's time, I believe he said.
Wine.
We'll get no wine before you buy it.
There'll be no wine before it's time.
There you go. Now we know what happened to the cat.
Well, since that 50-car pileup isn't going anywhere, they should serve wine out there. Would you care for your wine?
Warm up with this, honey.
Oh, if only had a food truck with a plow in front of it, you could really make money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's just ridiculous. Yep. I mean,
from the survivors.
Everyone has known that conditions were going to be absolutely horrible, and yet you get a headline like that. It's like, what are you guys doing? I don't know.
No kidding. I'm here at work, and I think I'm just going to be crashing at work. I was one of the stupid ones that actually came into work. Yay me.
I was in this morning. And I was the only one in the entire building. And I don't think I ever got an email or a text or anyone thing telling me not to be in. I mean, even the store
not
was
a good eye. Well, at least I got free internet. Free internet.
Yeah.
But, so, Dave, you went in today and no one else was there?
Yeah, I had lots of work to do, and I called off my one volunteer. The other one came in yesterday to do his stuff for the day, and so I did, and then lined everything up, and then I'll switch over 10 o'clock tonight over to another.
Is that over in your department, or that whole big place was closed?
There was not a person in that entire building but me.
Wow, and that's a big
building,
let me tell you.
Wow.
And I did a walkabout through it the entire day. There's even a half of the building you haven't seen yet. But I did a walkabout through that just to make sure nobody's there, because I had to turn the alarm back on. If there was somebody in there, they would have set the alarm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go back into my vehicle, get some stuff, and crash here for the night.
There you go. Crash here at Erie House.
Yeah, crash here at Erie House, everyone, instead of crashing on the I-90 or whatever that is, the I-80 or whatever that is.
You can keep Erie House with you all night long as you go into the archive and listen all night long.
There you go. Keep you warm. Get some hot coffee and a little bit of Bailey's or Kahlua. I have both.
There you are.
Yeah, I like having one right now. Let's wrap up the plot to overthrow. This is so clever. Done all in rhyme. The plot.
All in rhyme. Yeah.
Christmas.
And now back to the story.
so we may all learn from our old friend Sotto Voce, visiting down where it's eternal noche.
Chattahoochee?
This is your old friend Sotto Voce visiting down where it's eternal noche. And noche is Spanish for night, you know, merely a reference just to show that English isn't all I have to go by. Oh, well, I guess I've missed my calling. I should have been a lobbyist. You see, I'm stalling to give them time to finish the voting. Let's see, the weather. Now I'm quoting the Daily Herian. Continued heat both overhead and under feet. Light showers of brimstone toward the evening hours. Oh, that's what it says here. I'm not fibbing. How am I doing with my ad-libbing? Ah, this is a thing a Gabbard have fun with. Say, the drawing should soon be done with. We expect the results at any moment now. As soon as...
The lots have been drawn, and I'm glad to say the honor has fallen Nero's way. Yeah! Now, Nero, you are charged with a great task. It's the evilest deed that we could ask a fiend to do. We'll be proud of you.
Just one moment. How do I get there? What do I wear? Is it dry or wet there? Is it fact or fancy or just word of mouth that he lives at the pole? Is it north or south? What shall I use when it comes to the showdown? A gun or a dagger? Give me the lowdown.
Now, Nero, you needn't sound so tragic. You'll get to Earth by the blackest magic. To create an express elevator is simple for an expert spell creator. With a lot of pyrotechnic dazzle, we'll let you off at a hill in Basel, Switzerland. From there, you will make your way to the Arctic Circle, then break your way through ice with a blowtorch. After a while, you're bound to reach Santa's domicile. And once you get there, my dear Nero, all of our work will have gone for zero if you don't succeed in your assignment.
I know. But first, we don't succeed. We can try and try again, but there's no need because nothing will come of it. Meaning no offense, do you mind if I take my departure hence?
And that, my friends, was a big brass gong. It's using a story right along to indicate that we're about to travel to points where the plot will further unravel. And now, if Ambassador Nero elects, we'll have another spot of sound effects.
Basel, Switzerland? Or is it already Donner and Blitzerland?
Donner and Blitzerland, 5,000 miles away.
Thank you, mister, and good day. Tell me, stranger, because I've lost stock, where am I now?
In Vladivostok.
Listen, stranger, after all these centuries of blistering heat, now I have to suffer from freezing feet. I'm wincing with pain from this pesky toe.
Now speak English, Eskimo.
I declare by my frenetic soul I must be over the magnetic pole. My watch has stopped. Can that be right, I wonder? Light. A light! In a moment now you'll hear me knock on Santa's door. And he'll unlock it. Never more to lock again.
Coming, coming!
So is doom.
How do you do, sir?
Very well indeed, and you, sir?
Splendidly. Won't you come right in? Take your coat off. I see your chin is frozen. Also your hands and knees. Sit down while I get you some antifreeze.
Don't bother, sir. I will not be long. I'm about to perpetrate a frightful wrong. In short, I'm going to do away with...
Take it easy. Do not play with that gun. I know all about you.
Oh, really?
Haven't I had my agent scout you for weeks? You've come all this way to abolish Christmas. Now, let me say...
Listen, Santa, I'm no callow stripling. I've read Ernest Hemingway and Kipling. And also the shooting of Dan McGrew and plenty of detective stories, too. And just to show you what a broad guy I am, I've also read the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Do you think that a fellow with his reading so graded could have learned so little as to be dissuaded from a main objective? Why, don't make me giggle.
I'd feel a lot better if you wouldn't wiggle that gun so. Much as I'm impressed with your education, I honestly believe that a figure of your station should have given more thought to the ways of man and less devotion to the cult of Pan.
I came to dispatch a duty, so don't hand me any of this tutti-frutti. If you've any last words you want to say, then spell them. I haven't got all day.
Now, what's the rush?
Unless I've counted wrong, the polar day has always been 6 months long.
Well, after I've disposed of you, I've got to hurry right back to hell, or they'll begin to worry.
Not about you, but about your career in homicide. Do you think that the mere loss of you would make them hysterical? Their only interest is numerical.
Think so?
Mephisto wants to rule just as much of humanity as possible for reasons of personal vanity.
By the sticks, you're right. To think that he dare. Are there any ladies here? Will you permit me to swear?
My answer to that is an emphatic no. There are several lady dolls in the toy room below.
Oh, Cassius. Oh, Claudius. Oh, Naphthalene. What a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. Wait. Wait, I think I see what you're after. You're as clever as a big-time Roman grafter. Do you think I could be that meanly deceptive to Satan? Why, Santa, I'm keenly perceptive. I can see right through all your clever ruses. Nero can be plenty foxy when he chooses. I'll have you know that I'm partly a dreamer, partly a wit, and partly a schemer. I'm part philosophical and also part mystic.
I suppose you fancy that you're highly artistic.
Fancy? Why, I have such a sense of beauty.
Don't hand me a helping of Tutti Frutti. Any creature who really had beauty in his soul would appreciate Christmas. He would know that the whole idea of the holiday was one of such power that all the fiends below might gnash their fangs and glower, yet never in a million years could do it harm. Because it has a glory, a greatness, a charm that you would know nothing about.
Yes, that's so.
The spirit that it venerates, the good cheer that it generates, are things far, far beyond you. For all your wealth, no man on earth could sell ye these.
Am I so cursed as that? Will you tell me, please, what beauties there may be that I have never seen?
Have you ever seen a Christmas tree, tall and green, smelling of woodlands covered with a sheen of silverness, its branches bending low with the fruits of human kindness instead of snow?
No.
Have you ever closely witnessed what takes place any Christmas morning on a young child's face, or perceived any beauties purer than the joys distilled in the hearts of little girls and boys? Have you ever watched a fire in a fireplace on a Christmas Eve? Or listened to grace at table heavy with fruits and cakes and all the wonders that a kitchen makes? Fowls and pastries, wines and meats and nuts and raisins and candied sweets? Have you ever seen mistletoe hanging from a ceiling? In frosty air, heard a far bell pealing? Have you ever seen the beauty of a sprig of holly? Or felt for a moment how it feels to be jolly?
Golly.
Have you ever known how exceedingly pleasant it is to unwrap a Christmas present? Did you ever know how much cheer it lends to be wished a Merry Christmas by all your friends? Did you ever experience the fun of giving? Do you know at all of the joys of living?
I guess I don't. For all of me, I never knew such things could be. Just think how long in ignorance I've slept.
It must have been the company you've kept.
I was a wicked tyrant once, you know.
Ah, yes, but that was centuries ago. You really had no way of knowing.
Perhaps. I guess that I'll be going. I really should be getting on my way.
But do you have to? Don't you want to stay?
Well, you see, I'm just a bit...
Embarrassed?
Well, yes, sir.
No, don't look so harassed. I know just why you came and who it was that sent you. But that's all done with. I take it you repent you of all your past mistakes.
With many pains and aches of conscience.
Then you are welcome here. Please take your hat off. Your coat. Your muffler also. Take your spat off. What happened to the other one? No matter. You're pretty thin. You'll presently be fatter. I serve good food here. I'll get you a platter of steak and mushrooms. Medium or rare, I'll bet that you're as hungry as a bear.
A while ago you asked me if I understood good cheer. I do so now, St. Nicholas. I see it standing here. I want to ask you something, sir. Now, please don't give me up. Is there any sort of work to do where I can be of help?
Indeed there is. Indeed there is. And I am glad you asked me. I have so many toys to make this year, the job's got past me. But first you sit and eat this bowl. I've got a little trifle I'd like for you to see. So will you sit right here and stifle your curiosity? I'll get it for you right away.
Well, well, who'd ever think it? Will wonders never cease? At last, after all these centuries... I'm so happy I could buzz.
Well, here it is, Nero, my boy. By way of Christmas presents, I offer you this little gift.
Oh, but Santa, for what reason?
A very good one, sir, to wit. Compliments of the season. Well, go ahead and open it. Why stand there so reflecting?
I'm just collecting thoughts, eh, Nicholas? My thoughts, I'm just collecting. Just think how far a tiny bit of fellowship will carry us. Oh, well. I say, what's this? What's this? It's a Stradivarius. Why, thank you. Thanks a million times. I don't know what to say to you. I'll tell you what I'll do, St. Nick. I'll start right in and play for you. I'll play all night and day for you.
Fine. Here's some music. I'm sure you'll play it well. It's a little piece entitled Noel, Noel.
This is I. Remember me, your sotto voce friend? I've just come back to tell you that the story's at an end.
We join the audience here in Hollywood in applauding Orson Welles and Ray Collins in Norman Corwin's The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. Tonight's story on This Is My Best, presented by Shenley's Cresta Blanca Wine. Mr. Welles will be back in a moment to tell you about next week. And now, once more, here is John McIntyre, your Cresta Blanca host.
Perhaps one of the most interesting accounts of Christmas in early colonial days is of a dinner given by a prominent Virginia family. The festive Christmas table abounded with an elegant variety of turkeys, roast beef, veal, ducks, hams, puddings, jellies, oranges, apples, nuts, figs, and a variety of fine wines and punches. Today in America, our meals are less elaborate. However, it's still in the best American tradition to serve a fine wine like Cresta Blanca with the Christmas dinner. It will lend a charming, a friendly touch to your festive Christmas table. Choose the Cresta Blanca California wine your guests like best and serve it well chilled. It may be a white table wine like Chablis or Riesling, or it may be a red table wine like Burgundy or Claret. No matter what type of wine you choose, as long as the words Cresta Blanca are on the bottle, you can rest assured you are serving the crest of quality in wine since 1889.
And now, Orson Welles.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'm speaking also for two of the finest performers who ever stood before a microphone, Ray Collins, who was Santa Claus tonight, and John Brown, who was the devil. And now about next week's offering on This Is My Best. I'm looking forward to it. It's a pleasure to tell you about it now. Two great American humorists are involved, the writer and artist James Thurber, from whose antic gallery of sorrowful dogs, wistful little men, and monstrous women has been chosen a strange and, I think, entirely perfect study, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. The other great humorist involved is a writer, too, and a very fine one, but you know him just as well and love him as an actor. He will play Walter Mitty, and nobody anywhere ever could play it better than Robert Benchley. I know we'll all be listening, and till then, it's my privilege to remain, as always, obediently yours.
Cresta Blanca's new program is prepared in collaboration with Whit Burnett, editor of the book This Is My Best. The music is composed and conducted by Bernard Katz. Ray Collins will soon be seen in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's The Hidden Eye. Don't forget next week when your star on This Is My Best will be Robert Benchley in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And remember, whenever you dine, dine with wine and make it the best wine.
C-R-E-S-T-A. B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta Blanca. Cresta Blanca.
This Is My Best, a presentation of the Cresta Blanca Wine Company of Livermore, California, came to you from Columbia's Playhouse in Hollywood. Owen James speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WBNS, Columbia.
Give you an idea how much time we got left. Here, House Radio proudly presents Scars, Moral of the Story.
You can try with rhyme and prose, but you can't kill Santa, everyone knows.
Oh, very lyrical. Well done, well done.
Yes.
We got just barely enough time to get our last story in here from WCRS Radio Stage.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh,
again, from writer John Drew, friend, Facebook friend, and out of New York, and he's done a lot of interesting things even beyond this. I met him. He was first writing. He was a night bar manager, and he's now an English teacher and teaching also production and television and things like that at his high school. So amazing guy. Amazing guy.
We better fire this one off, Dave. Here's part one from Christmas of 2001. Is that right?
From great stories to tales of intrigue, we present WCRS Radio Stage. Please join us for this exercise of imagination with radio drama. Today, a just-in-case murder mystery by John S. Drew. That sound tells us there's only 15 seconds until curtain time. So get comfortable in your chair as we go to Studio X. And WCRS Radio Stage presents the story, Murder in a One-Horse Open Sleigh.
My name is Justin Case. I'm a private eye. My background? I've solved some of New York City's highest profile murder cases. I was just thinking to myself early one pre-Christmas morning how I needed a high profile case to get my name in the papers again when fate handed me an opportunity.
Good morning, Mr. Case. Come over here and take a look at this.
You know I don't understand much about computers.
But look at this news article I'm reading.
The New York Times? You're reading the New York Times on the computer. I spent thousands of dollars for this computer for you to read the New York Times when you could get a copy of it from the newsstand for a buck? I swear.
Calm down, Mr. Case. You know I use this for more than just reading papers. It's got our entire client database, reports from past cases, and much more. But I think this article will interest you.
Chinese delegate to appear...
Not that one. This one.
Sorry. Santa Claus murdered in Westchester. Sounds interesting, but what does this have to do with me?
This is the high-profile case you've been grumbling about for weeks. The one that will get the name of Justin Case back on everyone's lips.
I agree with you that figuring out who killed this poor guy would be a feather in my cap, but there's one problem. Who's going to pay for me for my time?
Think of it as an investment, Mr. Case. In the long run, you'll make a lot of money.
Which would be nice if the bill collectors were willing to wait. Besides, I've got a case now, one that pays.
You're not going to make much money peeping in windows looking for proof that Mrs. West is cheating on her husband.
No, but I'll make enough. Sorry, but unless it can be worth my time now, it's not worth doing. Yes?
Justin Case.
That's me.
I'm Joseph Levins. I'm the owner of Levins Department Stores. I need to speak with you, Mr. Case.
I'm afraid I don't have much time right now, but if you would make an appointment with Mr. with...
Please, please, I can't wait. I need your help now. I saw the way you handled the Farber murder.
You did?
Yes, I was at the Henderson estate when Farber was murdered.
All right. I can spare 10 minutes. Won't you have a seat?
Thank you.
I took stock of Mr. Levins as he settled into the chair. He was a short man, stout with stubby fingers on fat hands that he waved around as he talked. He was dressed sharply, probably fitted by one of his own tailors. My first impression was that he was in his mid-40s, but looking at the age lines that crossed his face changed my mind. He had to be in his 50s. Now, why don't you tell me what all this is about?
Well, I'm representing the store owners of the Westchester Mall. I don't know if you're aware of what happened last night, but our Santa Claus was shot and killed as he entered the mall.
Melissa was just showing me the story.
Charles Fahey was a well-respected man in the community. He has portrayed Santa Claus in many situations over the years, and we were fortunate enough to have him at our store this year. Someone killed him, Mr. Case, and we want to know who did it. The police are looking at this as a random act.
You don't think it is?
We, the owners of the businesses at the Westchester, don't. I can see the reluctance in your eyes, Mr. Case. I'm in the position to offer you $2,500, your expenses for a week up front, and the rest on completion of the assignment.
I can appreciate that, Mr. Levins, but you see, I'm currently working on a case.
I can take it.
What? You?
Sure, why not? It's only surveillance.
But you don't have a license. If you're caught...
Then I won't be caught. You have to take this case, Mr. Case.
That's funny, Case, Mr. Case.
Yeah, hysterical. Well, seems you've hired a private investigator, Mr. Levins. My first stop in the investigation was to talk with those who were on the sleigh with Fahey when he was shot. I wanted to see if they saw anything. I'm not a tall man, so I never talked with anyone I couldn't look directly in the eye. It was a bit disconcerting to walk into a room filled with such short people. I never knew Santa had so many elves.
Can I help you? This is an employee area.
Sorry to disturb you. My name is Justin Case. I'm working for Mr. Levins. I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions about Charles Fahey.
Anything we can do to help. You're a detective?
Yes. Can you tell me what kind of man Charles Fahey was?
Just an all-around nice guy. He not only looked like Santa Claus, he was Santa Claus. He was generous, kind, and always in a jolly mood. Why anyone would want to kill him, we don't know.
So he didn't have any enemies?
No enemies, but there were those who were jealous of him. Getting the Westchester Mall Santa gig is one step away from moving to Macy's. And that's the cream of the crop when it comes to Santa jobs.
You know anyone who was openly jealous or opposed to Mr. Fahey being Santa here?
Nobody who spoke out, but there were others in the running for the job, I understand. The Santa school would have that information.
Santa school?
Being Santa is more than just sitting in a chair and saying ho, ho, ho. It's a persona. The Westchester Mall, Macy's, most of your major department outlets use Santas from the Santa school for their stores. We have to attend a class ourselves to be Santa's elves.
You mean you wouldn't want to be Santa?
Not exactly the right size for it.
Excuse me? I've got a Santa suit here to deliver.
Oh, thanks. You can leave it there.
Right. What's wrong?
Oh, it was just that this was Charles' suit.
Got it back from the police already? I would expect they would have held on to it for evidence.
There has to be a mistake. This isn't his suit. It's too small. Charles was an extra large.
What is it?
The suit's been altered. I guess the big boys have made a decision on whom to replace Charles with.
That was fast.
It's Christmas. I gotta make sure the shoppers are kept happy.
Well, thanks for your help.
Good luck. If you get in a fight with the killer...
Yeah?
Make sure one of those left hooks are from me.
I will. Well, will you look who's here? If it isn't Bruno Connors.
Case? Don't tell me you're snooping around here looking for exposure again.
Come on, detective, that's not fair. I was hired to look into this case, as I was Russell Stern.
I'm talking about the way you wound up Commissioner Hawkins a few months ago. It didn't look good for the commissioner to lose control of his investigation the way he did.
Look, I'm sorry about that, but I was sort of asked to look into it, too.
Yeah, by the killer. So, what have you found out so far?
Not much. Why? What about you?
You know I'm not going to reveal details of an ongoing police investigation. Have any leads?
I do have some leads. I'm going to have a talk with Mrs. Fahey in a little while.
Waste of time. She isn't a suspect, and she can offer no real information on who would kill her husband.
So the police aren't just looking at this as a random shooting?
Oh, they are, but I'm not. I mean, who would want to kill Santa Claus?
Some guy who didn't get the erector set he wanted as a kid?
That's not funny, Case.
Never thought I'd see the day when Bruno Connors would have a sentimental side. Look, here's my card. Call me if you come up with anything.
I told you.
I know. But just in case you change your mind. And I still have your card in case I need to reach you. I'll be in touch. Wait a minute. This is out of your jurisdiction. This is a Westchester County case.
If it's any of your business, Case, Thomas Fahey was an old friend of mine. We grew up together. I was there when he was shot. I made a promise.
Say no more, Detective. I'll be in touch. My next stop was to the home of the late Charles Fahey and a talk with his widow. If Charles Fahey was the image of Santa Claus, then Mrs. Fahey was Mrs. Claus. She was short, round, with a face full of kindness. But today she was looking tired and sad. Despite that, she was gracious, allowing me time to sit and talk with her about her husband. I want to thank you for seeing me, Mrs. Fahey.
Don't be silly, Mr. Case. I'll talk to anyone who can help me make sense of this senselessness.
From everyone I've talked to so far, his death is quite the surprise.
Mr. Case, if there was ever anyone who should have been called Santa Claus, it was my husband. He was just a large, full-of-life person.
I know this is difficult, Mrs. Fahey, but I had to ask. Is there anyone who wasn't fond of him?
None that I can think of. The police ask me these same questions, you know.
I know. But sometimes all you need is a little time to think them through.
Mr. Case, you didn't know my husband, but I can tell you that all the time in the world wouldn't make me think that anyone would want to shoot my husband.
Nobody.
Well, I'm sure the other gentlemen from the Santa School were disappointed that Charles got the job at the Westchester, but it's not something you would shoot a man over, is it?
The Santa School?
Charles was a graduate and a teacher there. He worked his way up from being a Salvation Army corner center to the Westchester Mall. There was a good chance that Charles was going to move on to Macy's in another year or two. The Santa they have now is getting on in his years.
Your husband was a young man for portraying Santa Claus.
He was young for his age, but he looked older. He made it a point to keep his beard snow white year-round, even though he didn't have to.
What I'm trying to get at is that your husband was relatively young and in good health. He would have been Santa for Macy's for a good number of years.
He certainly hoped so.
Let me ask you just one question. Your husband took an extra large Santa suit?
Oh, heavens, yes. Charles didn't need any padding for his suit. His jolly belly was all natural.
Thank you so much for your time and hospitality. Again, I'd like to express my condolences for your loss. I will find out who did this to your husband.
I hope you do, Mr. Case. It's not going to make my Christmas any better, but maybe Charles will be able to rest a little easier.
Yeah, sure. That's part one, Murder in a One.
Part one.
Of course, open. Slay.
Yep.
About a little time, we can relax.
Oh, yeah.
Holiday weekend coming.
Just in case you would be employed by Moose and Elk. You've got a just in case by Moose and Elk.
I don't think they can afford him. I don't think they can afford him, yeah. But, yeah. Interesting story going on here.
Very interesting.
A little dark. A little on the dark side.
Yeah. I got to do it for you. Most of my stories were pretty dark. This was the dark side of me, the radio stages.
Dave, what's wrong with you?
Goodness.
Yeah, just being multifaceted. Multifaceted, one or the other.
Faceted, yes.
Faceted, yeah. I could be multifaceted, yeah.
Nothing like a nice murder. Nothing like a nice murder tale for Christmas.
Someone knocked off St. Nick. Someone gave the axe to Kris Kringle. Someone gave the great dirt nap to Father Christmas.
Okay.
Not cool. Needless to say, that guy's not getting any presents.
Yeah, well, once they figure out who it is, I think you'll get a nice gift of about, 30 to 90 years. Yeah.
30 to life. Yep.
30 to life.
Then again, if you tell Santa, I guess no one's getting presents.
Yeah.
No.
Back in the day,
yeah.
It used to be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You took someone out, you got took out two.
I don't know.
No kidding.
If it was a night tooth, you know?
I don't know why, but speaking of dark Christmases, there was a Married with Children. And the Santa Claus was supposed to jump out of a plane with all these gift certificates for a competing mall to the mall Al worked at. And the parachute broke. Guess whose lawn he lands in? Oh, Al Bundy's, of course.
God is my witness. I thought Santas could fly.
Fly.
That's right.
It was morbid. It was very morbid, but hilarious at the same time. They always had good Christmas episodes on Married with Children.
Yep.
I love the Futurama animated series, Santa, the Killer Claws.
Oh, gosh. Oh, heck, we better squeeze this one in. We're going to about have a minute and a half left over, so let's play the finale of Murder in a One-Horse Open Sleigh. Okay.
My next stop was the Santa School. That was its official name, the Santa School. Felt like I was wandering into an episode of The Twilight Zone as I first arrived a little over a half hour after my interview with Mrs. Fahey.
Ho, ho, ho! Ho, ho, ho! With more heart. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. One more time. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Hold on a minute, fellas. Can I help you?
Sorry, I think I took a wrong turn. I'm looking for the administrator's office.
It's just at the end of the hall.
Thanks. Carry on with your ho, ho, ho's.
Come in.
The Santa School was located on the third floor of an office building. The school rented the floor once a year. Entered the administrator's office. The room was featureless, gray walls with a small metal desk and phone. Several boxes filled with files were stacked haphazardly in a corner, looking about ready to tip over. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, that's me.
Johnson, the school's administrator, was a man in his mid-40s. Looked like one of Santa's elves as he sat behind the huge desk. I saved him the trouble of getting up from his desk by leaning forward to grasp his hand. My name is Justin Case. I've been hired to look into Charles Fahey's death.
Oh, yes, the detective. Levins told me you might be stopping by.
What can you tell me about Mr. Fahey?
Salt of the earth. A real class act. I'm sure you've spoken to others about him. He not only was Santa Claus in various situations, but he also taught classes here at the school.
Can you think of anyone who would wish him harm?
That would want him dead? No, I can't imagine anyone would want him dead. There are probably some more ambitious men here who would have wanted to see something happen to him so that he would have had to step down from the Westchester job. But would they want him dead? I doubt it.
Can you tell me about the others who were up for the job?
Well, there was Myers. He was Levin's second choice. He's a younger man, small in fact, but when he puts on the suit, he can transform himself into Santa Claus.
So why didn't Mr. Levins hire him?
Why hire an imitator when you can get the real thing? Fahey was Santa Claus.
And the other two?
Peters is an older man. He was actually my last choice. He wasn't exactly a good student, but when it comes to the Santa School, there's no such thing as failing. Everyone gets placed as a Santa. They might only be Salvation Army Santas standing on the corner, ringing a bell for donations, or they could be shopping mall Santas, interacting with children. Perhaps in time, Peters might make a decent Santa. And finally, there's Bork. He was a strange one. But whenever he put on the Santa outfit, he would pull off the part.
Strange? How?
He had a tendency to talk to himself, even when there were other people with him in the room. You could be having a conversation with someone, and he would be standing there having a conversation with himself. Very strange.
I don't know if it's a motive for killing someone.
I find it hard to believe that anyone in this school could be capable of such an act.
It's my job to look into every possibility, Mr. Johnson. Do you have the personnel files on these three students?
The police have already examined them. It's really against our policy to make them available to anyone.
I can appreciate that, Mr. Johnson. But if I could look through them for just a moment, I might find something that could help me.
Well, all right. Give me a moment to get them from the boxes.
As Johnson went through the orderly mess that was his filing system, I couldn't help but notice a copy of the laundry bill for Fahey's Santa suit on top of his invoice box. Mr. Johnson, have you made a decision regarding who is going to replace Fahey?
What? Yes, Myers, of course. No one could replace Fahey.
Of course. When did you make this decision?
Why, just about an hour ago. In fact, I called Myers to come in and to give him the news personally. I've got to prepare him to deal with the children who are going to ask him about seeing Santa getting shot.
Have you his file there?
Yes, yes. Here it is. I'll have the others for you in a moment.
Thank you. He was definitely a much smaller man. I glanced at his application, which included his measurements for a Santa suit. Did Mr. Myers have a suit of his own?
There were Santa suits that the students trained in. Each job had its own Santa costume. Some had a belt, while others didn't. That sort of thing.
So the Westchester Mall Santa suit was unique?
Exactly.
And the suit was tailored to Charles Fahey?
Both suits. The Westchester Mall provided two.
Why do you have a copy of the laundry bill? Doesn't the Westchester pay for it?
Oh, they do. I just keep track of what local laundries charge for their services. I can then recommend the good ones to my students.
Then you have no clue as to why Charles Fahey's suit was tailored the day before his murder.
The day before? I don't understand.
Well, this laundry ticket is dated the day before he died. It's for some tailoring that isn't for Charles Fahey. Take a look at this.
Why, these are Myers' measurements.
Exactly.
And you think he did it?
I think it's pretty certain.
Then we need to phone the police. Myers is on his way here now.
Hold off on that call. This evidence could be refuted. We need absolute proof. We need a confession.
What do you suggest?
Let Myers know you've gone with someone else. Give him some story about how he just wasn't cut out for the job or something.
But if Myers is the killer, it'll put whoever I say has the job in danger.
No, Myers won't get that chance. May I use your phone a moment?
Certainly.
Connors, it's Case. Cut the wisecracks and listen. I have our man and I need your help to nail him. Can you meet me at the Santa School? Good. Get here as soon as possible.
I'll do what I can.
Don't be nervous. Just give it to him straight. My partner and I will take care of the rest.
Very well. Oh, dear. He's here sooner than I thought.
It's all right. I'll be just outside to keep an eye on him.
Thank you. Come in. Myers, good to see you. That will be all, sir.
Yes. Thank you for seeing me. The hallway outside Johnson's office was empty, making my listening at the door much easier.
Have a seat, Myers.
If it's all the same to you, I'll stand. I'm a little nervous.
Understandable. These past few days have been a little nerve-wracking.
So why did you call me, sir?
I wanted to tell you that I hold you in high regard, Myers. You're an excellent Santa Claus.
Well, you said that before, sir. That's not why I'm here.
No. As you know, a decision has to be made quickly in regards to finding someone for the Westchester Mall. I've spoken with Mr. Levins, and the merchants of the mall have made a decision.
Which is?
I'm afraid you didn't get it, Myers.
I didn't? But I don't understand. I was a shoo-in. I mean, if there was anyone else besides Fahey to be the Westchester Santa, it was me!
You're right. And I told the merchants that, but they had a choice of their own.
Who?
The man who just left the office. His name is Carney.
That was nice work at Johnson. He made sure none of his people were placed in danger.
But who is he? He's not even a student here.
Not from here. From a school on the West Coast.
Great. Some surfing Santa's going to take my place.
He's not taking your place, Steve. He's replacing Fahey.
It should have been me. I should have been Santa in the first place.
If you had Steve, you would be dead now. Think about that.
Yeah, I'm real lucky. Look, I gotta go.
I moved quickly away from the door as I heard it open. A water cooler allowed me to hide myself from Myers' view as he exited. I followed Myers, hoping that Connors would get here soon.
Don't believe it. How could they turn me down again? I deserved it. I did. I am Santa Claus.
Connors wasn't here yet, but I knew I couldn't let Myers get away, especially when I saw him remove a gun from his coat pocket and check the rounds. Excuse me. I was wondering if you could tell me where the men's room is.
You! Stay still. Come to gloat, have you?
Not gloat. I don't beat a man when he's down.
I'm not down. I'm not out. This is just a setback. One, I'm going to rectify now.
Put that gun away, Myers. You're not going to get away with this.
Yes, I will. The classes are being held now. They are making such a noise with their ho-ho-hos, they won't hear this gun go off.
But why are you doing this? It's a job that lasts only a few weeks. It makes no sense.
It's the world to me. I know everything there is to know about Santa Claus. The legend. The stories. According to legend, Santa paid the dowries of three women whose family couldn't afford it. He hurled sacks of gold through a window, one of them landing in a drying stocking. Thus, the stocking legend. There is also a story of how St. Nicholas raised three children from the dead after being killed by an evil innkeeper, their bodies diced and pickled in brine. It's more than just about a jolly old man. There is a history here, one I have embraced wholeheartedly. You can see I deserve this job just by looking at me in the outfit. This job was mine by right. Divine right!
You're insane.
Insanity to one is genius to another.
And Fahey?
A good man. I didn't mean to kill him. It's just that I'm not a very good shot with this. But I wouldn't try making a move. I can't miss at this range.
Neither can I.
Who are you?
It's about time you got here. Did you hear everything?
Every word. Now drop the gun. Slowly.
No, it can't end like this.
Look out. You all right?
I'm fine. He missed me. Come on. Let's get him.
I swear
he came in here.
He did.
Where is he? There's got to be at least 40 Santas in here.
It doesn't matter. There's only one Santa with a gun in his hand.
Well, wait a minute,
students. Out the other way.
Get back in line, students. Nobody's excused.
He's gone.
The elevator's gone down into the parking level. We'll take the stairs. I hope you're in shape.
I can keep up. Now what?
I think I see him over there. Over there by the van.
We see you, Myers. You might as well give up.
Never!
I'll draw him out. You circle around and get him.
All right, as soon as you start.
There's no place left to run, Myers. You might as well give up.
As long as I have the gun, I have options. Come no closer. Wait a minute. Where's the other guy?
Here. Connors! I've been shot! Connors!
Damn! He's got me pinned down!
I'm the only Santa Claus, and I'm going to make sure that's the way it always is!
I had my eyes closed, partially because I didn't want to see what Myers was going to do to me, and partially because they were closed as I felt the pain from his first bullet in my arm. I thought I was going to die when I heard the sound I would have least expected.
Ho, ho, ho!
Case?
Connors?
What happened?
I don't know. My eyes were closed.
Look at Myers.
He's on the floor out cold. Did you do that?
Of course not. He had me pinned down. Did you?
No, I had my eyes closed, watching my life pass before me. Not enough there for a mini-series yet.
Yeah, nice work. Here, let me give you a hand up.
We make a nice team.
No, we don't.
Oh, come on. Would you call this luck?
No, but...
Come off it, Detective. This went well for both of us. Look, if you ever decide to retire from the force...
I'd rather be a Buddhist monk. Let's get this trash out of here.
You sure you didn't clobber him?
No, I didn't.
But if you didn't, who did?
I don't know.
Did you hear laughter?
No. And don't start telling me Santa clocked him.
I didn't say anything. I'd help you with those packages, but I have to keep my arm set for another 3 weeks.
I understand. Wow, I never knew I could get so much with a 50% discount.
Just one of the perks of figuring out who killed the mall Santa Claus.
Are you glad you did it?
Of course I am. A good man was killed and his killer was brought to justice.
And we got a nice stipend, plus these huge discounts.
It's nice to see where your priorities are, Melissa.
I've always looked out for you, Mr. Case. Hey, there's Santa Claus.
Yeah, they went with that Bork person. Works out pretty well, except for when Santa takes a break. He sits in his chair talking to himself, which has scared a few kids.
I want to tell him what I want for Christmas.
Melissa.
Come on, Mr. Case. It'll be fun.
Ho, ho, ho. Hello, little lady. And what can Santa do for you?
I want to tell you what I want for Christmas.
Well, sit on my lap and tell me.
All right, but watch your hands.
Oh,
Well, first of all, I want peace on Earth.
That's nice, Melissa.
And I want success for Mr. Case in the coming year.
Thank you, Melissa. You're being very selfless.
And if he is, I want a big, fat raise.
This isn't Santa Claus, Melissa. You're not going to get your wish.
Well, it was worth a try.
Ho, ho, ho!
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
It came from over here. No, no, wait, it was over here.
What is it, Mr. Case?
I could have sworn that Santa Claus was here.
Maybe he was. And maybe I'll get what I want for Christmas, too.
You don't believe me, do you?
I didn't say that. Merry Christmas, Santa! And a Merry Christmas to you, too, Mr. Case.
Merry Christmas, Melissa.
Today's program featured Brad Vincent as Justin Case, Ross Jordan as Myers, George Harrison as Johnson, Robert Quayas as Connors, Rebecca Marsh as Mrs. Fahey, David Crawford as Levins, and Katie Dunnigan as Melissa. Also appearing were Bill Breger, John Davison, Frank Snyder, Melinda Buchanan, Barb Bruno, and David Binkley.
I knew it.
Murder in a One-Horse Open Sleigh was written by John S. Drew. Original music was performed by David Crawford. Theme music for WCRS Radio Stage by David Crawford and Tom Holman. This program is produced in Akron, Ohio by David Binkley and David Crawford. I'm Joe Calley, asking you to join us the next time we open the curtain on WCRS Radio Stage.
And join us tomorrow, not tomorrow, next week, Thursday at 6:30.
Thursday.
For New Year's Party. Erie House Radio proudly presents Scars. Moral of the story. Let's go.
Rule of thumb. Santa only kills with kindness.
That's right. Thursday, 6:30. It's the Whistler and Philip Marlowe. Evening stroll and adventure of the old acquaintance. And then Saturday, more New Year's Eve stuff. Goodbye. Have a happy and merry, 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 merry Christmas.
The castle lights are growing dim.
He's not going to finish.
There's no one left but me and him.
So it'll finish.
And him
when
and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
With her and him.
Don't come alone.
Okay.
dig it.
I live.
Cool. I did it. Happy holidays. Happy holidays to everyone. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah, at least it cut off at a logical part between his laps.
It did. It did. Hey, I did want to mention in that cast there, the Melissa, who was the assistant. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She was actually my mail lady. She was actually my mail lady.
She was a mail lady?
No, she was my mail lady. She delivered
mail.
Mail
lady. Mail. Not
mail
a mail lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A mail lady.
No, not a mail lady, but a mail lady.
Right. I got it. Believe it or not, I got it.
Letter carrier.
And since this is in the archives, a quick push on the Weirdness Really Bad Movie page and the Facebook page and the Dave Binkley page and the Eerie House page is the latest episode of Spaceship One. You can also catch it on the weirdnessreallybadmovie.com, where it's there, along with our most recent Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas is Dough. So it's all there for everyone. Happy holidays from the Weirdness Really Bad Movie.
Yep.
Happy holidays to everyone.
All right.
Yep.
Yep.
I hope you get to
Ohio.
Spend your Christmas with them what you want to.
Yep. Or in Ohio, just stay in tomorrow.
Yeah, that's who I want to be with. Me and a warm dog. A warm,
warm dog.
Nah, the kids are coming over, so we'll have, and the wife made over like 100 chocolate chip cookies. I'm sure 50 of them at least are going their way.
There you go.
All some right. For neighbors.
All right, but happy holidays, everybody. I have to duck out of here.
Hey, Mr. Gar, Merry Christmas.
I thought you were a chicken.
You're not a night chicken?
I will drop in with you guys next week, and I'll be in contact with you on the Facebook thing there. So take care.
Well, In that case, CW, do your job. Do your duty.
All right. Without further ado, the Schnozola himself, Mr. Durante, wish us happy holidays as we make our way out.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What more is this safe, but good night. Merry
Christmas, Mr. Hickey. And to the Yodeling Pickle, too.
I only have to bring out my emotional support chicken. I don't know.
Emotional support chicken.
Yes.
I told them at work the only way they're going to get me to come back to the office is I can bring my emotional support tarantula.
Ah.
I am now permanently a work at home.
Good night.
Good night.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.